just think we have a lot of winners in the locker room, and we're more athletic and have, you know, more ability to score in the paint than we could last year. The guards were terrific, and we just couldn't get the balance that we now have, you know, at both ends of the floor because of just being bigger and more athletic.
Bobby Hurley, during media availability yesterday, the Sun Devils have made their way to Dayton, Ohio, site of the First Four. Couple nights of basketball leading into the hard launch, if you will, of the NCAA tournament on Thursday.
And there's something to be said for this. Doug brought up the stat this morning. I don't know what it means, but teams that play on Tuesday in Dayton haven't done well, but teams that do play on Wednesday do really well.
Yeah.
They said teams that play on Tuesday have only won one time in the next round, whereas teams that play on Wednesday have only lost one time.
Yeah, and ASU played on Wednesday last year. They lost to Syracuse, and Syracuse was that 11 seed that made a run.
Yeah.
I mean, they knocked off TCU, then they beat Michigan State. They almost knocked off Duke. Maybe ASU can be that team.
It would almost seem to me to be a little almost disconcerting to play on Tuesday. Because, again, whether or not you think it's part of the tournament, I mean, it is part of the tournament, but it doesn't always feel like it. And you could almost see a team going through that emotional lift on Sunday, having to get on a plane on Monday, and then maybe not being peak optimum basketball team on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe getting to play on Wednesday will help them. I think it's a big opportunity for ASU just to kind of to fill the void, if you will. You know what I mean? It's they've got the math, and to me, the idea that they have now made successive tournament berths, it's going to be important for Bobby Hurley to be able to sell that. Okay, I think we all kind of recognize that. But in lieu of that, how deep can you go? How much can you get the brand out there? Can you get all the way to the Sweet 16? I think they can. They could also lose tomorrow night.
I you know how I am with ASU basketball. While I root for them, I'm frustrated by them. I've pulled my hair out the last 2 years watching this team play basketball. But I will say this. I was driving down to the arena yesterday. I was listening to Burns and Gambo, and they were having the discussion. And Burnsy asked the question, you know, and others have suggested this. When you play on Tuesday or Wednesday night, yes, it's part of the NCAA tournament. But he says it doesn't feel like you're in.
No.
And Gambo stopped him and said, it doesn't need to feel like they're into anybody else but the players, the coaches, and the recruits that they're trying to lure.
Yeah.
This goes down in the books as an NCAA tournament appearance. And if you can sell back-to-back tournament appearances in Tempe, Arizona for the first time in 39 years or whatever it is, that's not a bad thing. Now, what ASU does need to do that they didn't do last year is win that game in Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's back-to-back, oh, we got in, but we had to play on Wednesday night, so when all the fun started on Thursday, we weren't even around. They need to erase that. They need to capitalize on what they experienced last year. And I believe Bobby Hurley's quote, independently of St. John's and the opposition they will provide, I think this team is better suited for the NCAA tournament than last year's team was.
I completely agree with that, but and I've thought that this team is, on paper, much better than last year's team, but at times they haven't played up to that. You don't know where you're going to get with this basketball team. You really don't. The health of Remy Martin, obviously, is going to be key to everything. I feel what Burnsy's saying about that, because if you're at a game that you can tell it doesn't matter to people, I don't know if you can convince yourself that it's something that it's not. And I think that it's hard to manufacture that kind of energy when it's all reserved for Thursday and Friday. But again, just go change all of it. Go win this game against St. John's. It's a great coaching matchup. Bobby Hurley versus Chris Mullin. I mean, it's when you talk about basketball royalty.
That's two college
royalty,
basketball legends.
Yeah, it's college basketball royalty. Chris Mullin is not as good as a coach as Bobby Hurley is. He's as big of a name. Well, maybe that's not even true.
I don't think he is. I don't know if Chris Mullin's got two rings.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Here's an interesting note on St. John's. This came up in our discussion with Casey Jacobson, and you'll hear the name between now and tip-off tomorrow night at 6. And by the way, you can hear that game here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Shamori Pons is his name. St. John's best player. He is the definition of making a team go. When he's good, St. John's is hard to beat. When he's not good or the other team gets the better of him, they're not that good a basketball team. And I think that's where ASU is equipped to get past this game because of the defensive options they can throw at somebody like Shamori Ponds, who's a talented point guard, but you can throw Lu Dort on him, who's been, Lu Dort is not ready to play in the NBA, in my opinion, from an offensive standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
He's there defensively. Remy Martin is a pest defensively, and if hopefully he's close to full health last night. If you wanted to really switch it up, Zylan Cheatham is versatile enough to guard a point guard. You could really present Shamori Ponds, their engine, a lot of different looks defensively to make things difficult for St. John's. That's why I like their chances tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, I like their chances because I think they're a better team. I don't think St. John's is that tall. I think that
they're not tall. They're not deep at all.
Not deep.
Did you see this stat? The starting five for St. John's is responsible for 87.7% of the team's points, and only seven Division I teams relied on their starters more heavily than they did. Some foul trouble.
Yeah,
and ASU's been good at getting other teams into foul trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would point to, at least on paper, the advantages pointing to ASU in most aspects in this game.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not that tall, but I saw a picture of their point guard. He looks just like
Joe Gambadoro.
What, do you have a lot of facial hair or something?
No, it was actually his picture.
Oh, okay.
St. John's.
Okay.
Where are you in your process of filling out your bracket? So we got bracket boss responsibilities.
I can tell you right now, neither one of you have done it yet.
Yeah, no, neither
Why?
One of us.
Because you
done
keep
it.
Hearing about it.
Yeah, are you waiting till the play-in games? Do you guys factor that in?
No,
before you fill it out, or you don't really.
I mean, kind of. That's one of the reasons I don't like the first four. Honestly, is for contest purposes, especially when ASU, the local team somewhat of an attractive draw, they could be a team that gets to the second round, but we don't know if they're going to get past the first round. So I started filling out mine on a trial basis yesterday, and I gave up.
You're doing it hard copy?
I do it on hard copy first, and then I make my changes. Not that it matters. I finished last
Do we have a computerized template?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And
good.
This year, as you know, it's the pros versus hosts.
Yeah, good.
And some cool former Arizona athletes that you'll be competing against.
Yeah, so who is it? Carson Palmer. Shane Doan, Max Starks,
yep.
Eddie House.
Yep.
Paul Bissonnette.
Paul Bissonnette has been replaced by Casey Jacobson.
Oh, Casey Jacobson is in.
Yes.
Now. What, Bissonnette couldn't hang?
He was in Vancouver or something. Oh. They said he couldn't. Jay Feely.
Is he busy playing practical jokes on other radio hosts?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was it.
Getting burritos and syrup?
And then our team, of course, is Doug and Wolf,
yep.
Burns and Gambo, me and Bick, Paul Calvisi, and Luke Lipinski.
That's right.
You know why I feel good about our chances?
Why is that?
Because we have Luke Lipinski.
He is great. He said he's won 2 years in a row, the bracket thing.
He's the king of the brackets. He's the king of
fantasy
sports.
Football? Yeah.
He's the funniest man alive, according to Jarrett Carlin.
I mean, he does a lot of research, and it's the one thing that he uses his windowless basement for that is actually okay.
That's good.
Another big story in the world of sports today. The massive contract agreed upon by the Los Angeles Angels and Mike Trout. 12-year extension, $430 million. So you can end all the speculation and recruiting efforts of Bryce Harper, who you got in a little bit of trouble for earlier this spring training.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to Philadelphia. We don't have that romance of the hometown boy going home to play for his hometown team. And for $430 million, Anaheim's a nice place. Orange County's beautiful.
Free agency is dead.
I'd stay there, too.
Yeah, free agency is dead.
It's going to be all extensions from now on. We already saw it, Arenado and Trout. They saw what happened the last two off seasons.
It's true. Which makes you wonder.
Well,
Goldie's going to sign an extension, probably.
Probably. Paul Goldschmidt doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that is going to flip teams every 2 to 3 years.
No. No, I agree with that. Okay, a couple things. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but at Tempe Diablo Stadium today, on the same day that this extension was announced, okay, a grounds crew tractor caught fire. And you can see it, black smoke, plumes of it coming out of Tempe Diablo. That's kind of symbolic, if you will, right?
Are you saying that maybe the rest of the Angels' 12 years with Mike Trout is going to be nothing but a tractor fire?
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, because if there was ever a guy you think would kind of stay in his shoes and keep producing, but it's 12 years. 12 years. I love this.
I mean,
LA Angels fans waiting by players' parking lot hoping to be the first to get Mike Trout's autograph since agreeing to his 10-year extension, or whatever extension was.
Why does it matter?
But he's got the complete day off, so they'll have to wait. So they're all waiting for no reason.
Yeah, it was a 10-year extension because he has 2 years left on his deal.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay.
I mean, the Angels, yes, the length of contract now. He's 27 years old. So by the end of that, he's going to be almost 40.
I know.
But the Angel, when you figure term and you figure the money that's being thrown around, they're kind of in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. You brought it up earlier. What does the Angels fan base do if you've been, you are the team where Mike Trout developed himself as the best player in Major League Baseball. And when free agency rolls around at the end of next year, he's gone. You can't absorb that as a franchise. It would be a terrible signal to
send. No, I know. That to me is why this is very market specific, because you can't be a big time franchise in LA if you let Mike Trout go to Philadelphia over money, right?
And here's the other thing. They just signed a $3 billion contract with local television.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in that market where the Dodgers are blacked out of half the people's homes.
That is huge there. That's a good point, Jarrett.
Somebody pointed out, this is a real funny, really, really funny tweet. Mike Trout will sign a 12-year deal or whatever, and they show a picture of a guy running out of a football stadium at full speed, like out of the tunnel, and it said, this is Kyler Murray. Look at this. he's running back to baseball, right? You think about this, though. This is, this is more than double the next wealthiest contract in sports, which is Russell Westbrook.
Oh, you mean football?
Wait, but more than double.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook's deal is for, hold on.
Bryce Harper's over $300 million.
Hold on, let me.
Manny Machado's over $300 million.
Hold on.
Giancarlo Stanton is three.
Okay, well, SportsCenter, why are they tweeting this out? Four biggest contracts and four major, okay, this is
one
my
in each
sport.
One, yeah.
This is one in each one. Okay, that's what I meant to say.
But that just show you about football.
Right.
That I made that thing about Kyler Murray earlier about he must be really confident because we made such a big deal about Nick Foles, his free agent deal, $80 million guaranteed. Oh, my God.
I know. Right.
This is $430 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
So Kyler Murray is not going to make, even if he's the face of the NFL, he's not going to make half of that in his career.
Yeah. And if you were, and again, this is really an indictment of the NFL Players Association and how they've not been able to fight for their guys to the level that baseball or basketball has. Because, I mean, come on, if the NFL is the king of all sports, and it's the hardest sport, and it takes the most out of you, why are they lagging?
Well, the argument is baseball literally plays 10 times as many games.
And baseball's union is literally 1,000 times stronger than the football union.
That's what I'm voting on, more than anything, you know? Colin Cowherd pointed out, well, you know, Mike Trout, he wouldn't even be recognized in a Los Angeles mall. And people are tweeting out going, why does that matter? Why would you care if you were recognized in an L.A. mall?
I mean, that's the best of both worlds.
Right, it is.
$430 million contract and you're quote-unquote anonymous in your own hometown? That's beautiful.
Right? That is beautiful.
After watching how many people bothered Baker Mayfield the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not even his hometown.
Uh-huh.
Although one of you, I forget which one, you said you did not recognize him if you weren't told it was him.
No,
right?
Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
I would not have put it together. Now, if I'd have stared at him, it would have dawned on me.
Which is what Bickley did after he realized it was Baker.
Well, because I'm like, wow, that really is. But I do believe Vinny would have figured it out.
Oh, I did. I was just, somebody described it. Did you see who just walked in? And I was focused on somebody else. I'm like, I don't recognize that person. And then I looked, that person, that's who they were talking about.
Okay.
Now, that's the, I guess, advantage of being the first ever 5'10" quarterback with a big head and small arms, is that you'll be very recognizable everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think in the case of this, The Mike Trout signing, it proves a couple of things. Number one, there is a ton of liquid money in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than is being spent. And these high-end guys, they found it. They got it. The length of term is what just is mind-blowing to me. Because if the money is that crazy, why are you even locking yourself up that long? I guess if you're Mike Trout, why wouldn't you? You're getting
the
paid,
last 3 years of the deal.
You're getting paid from ages 35 to 39 or
but
whatever it is.
You also have to consider that yes, it is a record for average annual value, $36 million. Finally, Zach Greinke has been bested on that on that chart for after 3 years of reigning at the top of it. But the length has to play into it because it makes it frees up money for other players. I mean, you can't spend $36 million on Mike Trout and surround him with garbage, which the Angels have been accused of doing. I don't necessarily buy into that.
Yeah.
I think they've had some talented players during Mike Trout's time in Los Angeles, but now the pressure's really on. I don't think Mike Trout gets a lot of criticism for, he obviously and individually a tremendous player. Just look at his numbers. I mean, how many top two finishes does he have in MVP voting?
I think he's, every year.
Is that right?
Starting in 2012, every year but one, he's finished in the top
That's
two
insane.
In the voting. He finished fourth in 2017.
What a loser.
I mean, silver sluggers every year, all-star every year. I'm happy for him, too, because that was a guy, too, that at the center of Major League Baseball. They don't know how to market their stars.
Yeah.
Mike Trout's got no personality, which I disagree with. I just don't think he's as gregarious as others. But did you see the story recently?
He showed
up at the Cronkite School last week to do a weather report because he's a total weather nerd.
Oh, that's right. I did see that.
Yeah.
I did see that.
If you're not cool, you don't do stuff like that.
But this is the same thing with Kyler Murray, who the Cardinals are meeting with today. They have on the field charisma. They might not have charisma in an interview, but on the field, they're tremendously engaging and charismatic, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, and that sometimes trumps. If you're that talented, that electric on the field, you can generate your marketing. We didn't even talk about that. Now Mike Trout, by signing this deal, has reached another level of consciousness among the American public. How much more attractive does Madison Avenue find him now? He can, he's going to be making so much money. Oh my goodness, it's
you know, and it's I hate this because I know knee jerk reactions in sports media. What comes next? The breakdown of how much he makes per at bat, per inning, per minute, per day, per week, and you see those numbers, and it makes you hate sports.
Let me throw some names at you real quick, Bick.
Yeah.
Dustin Ackley.
All right.
Mike Leake. Grant Green. Bobby Borchering. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. AJ Pollock. Shelby Miller. Kyle Gibson.
What do we...
Kyle Gibson.
What's the commonality?
AJ Pollock.
Those were all players that were drafted before Mike Trout in 2009. The Diamondbacks took two players with Mike Trout on the board. One of them worked out pretty good. Bobby Borchering never made a major league appearance.
Wow.
Never made an at-bat. But that's how many teams had the ability to draft Mike Trout back in 2009.
Yeah, and, you know, Paul Goldschmidt was famously a late-round draft pick. You know, the Major League Baseball draft doesn't pop the way the other drafts do. You know what I mean?
Well, first of all, it's in the middle of the season, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's strange. The other thing is very few people watch
college baseball. Guys are coming from high school, you don't know who these guys are.
Yes. The final big story today of a local nature, the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Keim, Cliff Kingsbury in Norman, Oklahoma to meet with Kyler Murray, potential first overall pick of the Cardinals when the draft rolls around on April 25th. Not a surprise here. I know just by the nature of it, this is going to fuel speculation that the Cardinals are doing this or doing that. This falls under the category of diligence to me.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we'll get reports on what was talked about. The Cardinals have been very
tight-lipped when it comes to what they're thinking leading up to this draft, so I don't imagine Cliff Kingsbury or Steve Keim is going to be making the rounds talking about what was discussed with Kyler Murray or how it went. They don't want any of that information out.
Yeah, and I like the way you said it earlier. What are you hoping to accomplish? If you've got this time with Kyler, Cliff Kingsbury knows him, they get along, you've got a good idea that this is the guy you want for your system, you've met him for 15 minutes in Indianapolis, what exactly do you do? Hey, Kyler, how you been doing since Indianapolis? What's been going on, man? I think what you said is right. You want to go through another meeting with him and just not be scared away. You don't want to just sense any weirdness that goes, you know, maybe we should hire a private investigator and tail this guy around Norman for the next couple of weeks. You don't want to do that. You want to just go, that guy's awesome.
And neither of you think it's like, Kyler, how'd you like to play quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals? There's no assurances to be given.
I don't dismiss the possibility of that happening very early in this process.
Yeah.
Which might have sparked the decision to go from baseball to football, other than the quote-unquote love of the game. One of the reasons why I put this into the diligence grouping is another report. Defensive tackle Quinnen Williams of Alabama, pro day today in Tuscaloosa. He did not participate in drills or testing, but according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, Williams has already met with the New York Giants, expected to spend time with the San Francisco 49ers. In fact, the first seven teams picking in the draft, including the Arizona Cardinals, are expected to host Williams on a visit. Gather as much information as you can.
Yeah. And again, you never know when those guys are going to come available. You want to have a book on them if and when they do, and why not? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You get information about, you get information about an opponent. So you don't pass up a chance at free information. I think Quinnen Williams is going to be a really good pro.
I do too. I think a lot of those guys at the top of the first round are going to be good. I think, I had my doubts about Nick Bosa for a couple of reasons, but I mean, everything I've read and gathered about him, even though he had a disappointing last season at Ohio State where he got hurt and then he said, I'm getting ready for the draft. He's a football player, and he comes from a football family. And Joey Bosa, his brother, when he's been on the field and available, he's been a force. They got a number of different ways they can go, which is a good thing because they need help in a lot of areas.
Meanwhile, in New York, a guy who covers the Giants is imploring the Giants. This is Josh Rosen's the guy you got to get. That for all this great talk about Russell Wilson one day, if you want a guy in the here and now that's going to cost you peanuts to play the position, Josh Rosen's the guy. That's something that's going to really help the Cardinals, is the value, the salary that Josh Rosen's going to bring to whatever team he plays for next.
If he's any good.
Yeah.
If he's not good, it won't matter.
Right.
Join Burns and Gambo tomorrow from the AT&T store at Tempe Marketplace as they support Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, matching veterans with pets. Visit the events page on arizonasports.com for complete details. It's Bickley and Murata on this Tuesday, coming to you live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, before we get into a revisitation of something we stumbled upon yesterday, it kind of sparked a lot of thoughts in our listeners' pet peeves that you have as sports fans. You had that idea, and I just started rattling down my list, and my list kept going and going and going. I'm like, man, I got a lot of hang-ups.
Yeah.
Are you even a sports fan?
I got a lot of issues.
I thought of another one, by the way, and it's very, very, very minor, and it's not even applicable anymore. Mm-hmm. Chase Jeter's shorts drive me crazy.
Yeah, Jared kebabbed him once.
Ugh.
Yeah. Before we get there, though, I want to tell you one last thing real quick. Major League Baseball is at the Nationals camp today. They're working on a new communication device for pitchers and catchers, where the catcher would type into his watch where and what they want, what pitch they want thrown, the pitch and the location. And then the pitcher would get it, and boom. That is how paranoid how pervasive sign stealing's become in Major League Baseball.
It's been part of the game for 150 years.
And it's probably because of the technology afforded to people now.
Didn't they just bust people for wearing smartwatches a couple years ago? Now they're going to employ them?
Now they want to
get over
apply.
It. Don't change everything, baseball. You did some good things last week. Cut it out now. Cut it out.
Okay. If you want to chime in with some of your pet peeves from sports, feel free to do it via social media. I threw a couple out there yesterday.
And these are like sort of minor pet peeves.
Not like athletes
should be paid in NCAA.
Minor things that irrationally bug you. It resonated so much. Our very own Sarah Cazell's got some of her own. I can't wait to hear these. I'm sure you got some good ones, Sarah.
You know, I only have one prepared for you.
Just one?
Yes, but it is the first one that came to mind, and therefore I think it is the most pervasive in my mind.
Okay.
It is when defensive backs signal incomplete even if they had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. They do that all the time.
That's true.
Even if they were 6 feet away from the receiver,
the ball was thrown into the stands.
Yeah. But you know, it evens out, though, when a defensive back breaks up a play and makes the motion, but then gets called for pass interference anyway.
Right.
So there's still some of that.
Yeah, I get annoyed, and a couple of things, like little annoyances. I said yesterday how every team and every organization has to call their fans the best in the sport. It's so disingenuous and stupid, especially like you hear it in Tampa. I got to tell you, the Rays, we got the best fans in baseball. No, you have 12 of them.
But those 12 are great.
They're great. They're really
good. We got the best fans in baseball, baby.
They don't say they have the most fans in baseball.
No, they just say they got the best, right?
Here's one that Kevin chimed in with, and this one, I can't believe I forgot it, because this does drive me nuts. When attending a sports game where fans wear jerseys of neither of the competing teams, drives me crazy.
Yeah, okay.
And other people chimed in on that. Austin said, dude, same. Kevin said, I went to the Suns versus Knicks game. I see like 10 LeBron jerseys and 20 Steph Curry jerseys. I want to throw something at those guys. Here's what I don't understand. You see this on football Sundays all the time. Let's say you're going to a Cardinals-Eagles game at State Farm Stadium, and you see, you know, a lot of people wearing Cowboys jerseys. I get they're your team, but they're also playing at the same time.
Yeah.
Why are you not watching your team instead of going to the game?
Yeah, right.
It makes me crazy.
Yeah. Listen, how about Major League Baseball playoffs when they can't stop showing the agonized fan in the stands?
Oh, you know who started that? Fox.
Yes, Fox started that.
I bought the whole DVD series, the 2001 World Series, every game in its entirety on DVD.
Yeah.
I could probably, if I did some editing and had some time, you could probably come up with a loop of 7 hours of just those shots.
No, you could.
It drives me crazy. That's a good one, too.
How about sports fans who a guy gets traded or a guy leaves, the burning of jerseys? Dude, you spent money on that.
And now people
give it away.
Why don't you just donate it? Well, because you don't get any social media reaction when you donate a jersey to somebody who needs it.
On the thing of jerseys,
yeah.
Prominent sports websites will not change the logo on a player's hat if they've been traded mid-season. Something that would take 5 seconds in Photoshop. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. I always notice that.
On every website?
One specific one.
Is it four letters?
It is.
Okay.
Wow.
It bothers me.
How
could a relief pitcher blow a 3-run lead in the ninth inning and then get the win?
I know.
If the team scores in the bottom of the inning.
That's a bad one.
You know what annoys me? Major league pitchers who can't throw strikes. NBA players who can't make free throws. These are minor nuisances that I have.
Here's some more. Aaron on Twitter, players saying they give anything over 100%. It's not mathematically possible.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, when people refer to an NHL team with a record of 25-25-10 as a 500 team, dude, they've lost 35 games. Excellent point there.
That's a dumb hockey rule confusion.
I cannot stand fans who wear their baseball glove while watching games at home. Okay.
What?
No, that was meant to be stupid.
Here's a good one from Armando. To refer to a shutout score as zero instead of nothing. Hey, did you go to the Diamondbacks game last night? Yeah, mm-hmm. They won 3-0.
What's wrong with that?
It's 3-0.
Oh, come on. Somebody said broadcasters that mix up the use of fewer and less.
That's outside the realm of sports.
That's grammar police. That gets pretty. That's pretty heavy-handed. Grunting in tennis drives me nuts. It's not necessary.
That's a major one. Gambo actually texted me yesterday, and he was all on board with the Grand Slam home run.
Was he?
The usage of that phrase. I remember when I was really young, the first time I actually saw a grand slam happen, I was watching a Yankees game, and I ran downstairs to tell my dad what had happened. I said, and I even remember what player it was. This is how good my memory was when I was a kid, and now as an adult, it's shot. Dad, Jim Spencer just hit a grand slam home run with the bases loaded. I added another layer on top of it.
Wow. I also don't like fans who go to games with the expressed intent of trying to get in a player's kitchen. Proverbial kitchen. I'm not talking about the guy, the Utah fan of Russell Westbrook. Tiger Woods just dealt with this over the weekend. I don't know if you saw the picture. There's a guy wearing a t-shirt of Tiger Woods' mugshot.
And Tiger, I saw that.
And Tiger's walking by, and Tiger cracked up when he saw it. But the guy was standing there like such a Delta Bravo, just kind of like, with that look on his face, just like daring Tiger to lose his mind and hit him.
Go ahead. You don't like it, hit me. Yeah, I'll never have to work again in my life.
That's right.
How about when fans boo when the pitcher throws the first base?
Yeah, I can't stand that.
How about when the pitcher throws to first base and the guy is standing on the bag and never took a lead off?
Now, if they do it five times in a row, but basically, they'll boo when any visiting player does that. That drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one from Stratton. When a commentator says, out with a knee or another body part.
That's right.
He's injured.
He's got an ankle.
He's out with an ankle.
He's got an ankle.
That's like a recent, maybe 10-year kind of a thing. They never used to say that in the old days. He's out
with
a knee.
One of my biggest pet peeves ever right now is autocorrect on your phone. Did you see what happened after Auburn won the SEC tournament? That television station in Tuscaloosa?
I'm pretty sure they didn't put the graphic up with a phone, though.
No, you're right. They meant to write Auburn wins SEC tournament, but somebody typed in SEX rather than SEC.
That's March Madness, baby.
That's quality television right there, baby.
Here's one from AKA Dunk Drew. Cards on the clock 40 days prior. Okay, fair enough. Sorry we contributed.
How about
to that.
The fake bird sounds they pump into the Masters broadcast?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do they really do that?
I don't know. That's what somebody said.
Oh, no. Look, if they get a bad winter in Augusta, they'll paint the flowers to make them look blooming.
Here's Chris. He's got three. The shift in baseball, one shining moment, and Cowboys and Lions. You know what? That came up on my list yesterday, too. One shining moment. I love the end of tournament montage. That song is... Ugh.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I hate it. I hate that song.
How about people that purposely wear obscure jerseys?
I think that's kind of funny. I went to a bachelor party once in Vegas, and one of the themes of the day was to wear your most obscure jersey you could find.
Mm.
I didn't get to participate because I had to leave early, but yeah. I kind of like that stuff, actually. That's one of my favorite things to do at a baseball game is to... I have to look for the most obscure jersey.
Really?
Yes. I've got no life, Bick. You know this. March Madness tips off this Thursday, and with it comes your chance to be the Arizona Sports Bracket Boss, presented by Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center. Just text BOSS, B-O-S-S, to 620-620 to sign up. Receive your bracket and compete for your shot at $1,500. Once again, that's BOSS to 620-620. Coming up, back to wrap things up on a busy Tuesday, it's Bickley and Murata, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day. Brought to you by Vital 4 Men. Sometimes you want to hit rewind. Now you can with Vital 4 Men. Find out more at vital4men.com.
I think I know why you did this. Because this is the Animals.
That's right. You got it. For our Mock My World topic.
Wow. I would not have come
underrated up. Band. I like them.
I don't think I can name another song by them.
Well, House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, of course. Duh.
They have a bunch.
You really are an old soul, dude.
Did you say old
B.
soul?
B. Arthur. He took B. Arthur and Mock My World.
My plan for the song of the day today was I was going to turn over the duties because, you know, Skylar Bickley gets to pick song of the day.
Yeah.
And she does a great job at it. I was going to give it to my... I was going to give it to my son, who's 23rd birthday is today.
Oh, really? Happy birthday, Brandon.
Brandon, pick your song. And he's like, I'm having trouble coming up with one. Do you have any ideas? I'm like, I can't come up with one on a daily basis. So,
23rd birthday.
You don't get the song, but happy birthday.
Shouldn't be that hard to come up with a song you like.
First birthday in his life where he's had to work or go to school. His birthday always coincided with spring break. And now that he's out of college, he's a working stiff. I said, welcome to adulthood. It sucks.
How's he like in post-college adult life?
He seems to enjoy it. I think he misses college. But
I kind of had this epiphany that I think my daughter is going to be in for a rude awakening when she realizes that there will come a time when she's going to have to pay for her own existence. How's Brandon handling that, by the way?
It's pretty good.
Good?
He's very thrifty.
Well, like you said, he doesn't pay a dime. He doesn't reach in his pocket.
I don't know where he got that from. He didn't get it from me. There were times where I didn't reach into my pocket because I knew there was nothing in it.
Right, right.
But he's doing okay.
You're a very generous guy.
He's doing okay for himself.
All right,
that's
so
good.
Just one more thing on the Mock My World topic. I had to bring this up that Eric was filling out making the graphics for it.
Uh-huh.
And Flea, he put, as part of which band do you think he thought Flea was in? Logically.
Who I said?
Yeah,
I said the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, he thought Flea was part of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh.
And that's why he had that
name. He did not. Did you really?
Eric,
yes.
Clean out your desk. It's been nice.
Or
kind,
not.
Kind of. Wow. You threw him totally under the bus.
I asked him if I could tell that on the air, but it
now,
was
Vinny
so
actually,
nice.
I said, Vinny no, actually that's looked up who Flea was, his real name.
And I had heard it before, but I didn't. Michael Balzari is his real name. Michael B. the Flea. That was his nickname. That's how he got the name. We talked about this on Sunday after the NCAA bracket pairings came out. ESPN had their blurbs of every team, and they had their blurb about ASU, and they referenced to them as the Wildcats in the blurb. It happens with other schools, so take solace, ASU and U of A fans. They not only ESPN, but SI also messed up on New Mexico State. ESPN, worst case scenario, one and done. If New Mexico isn't able to get to the up-tempo game and if three-pointers aren't falling, the Aggies could be a quick out. Well, it's the New Mexico State Aggies. New Mexico did not make the tournament.
Right.
Apparently it happens a lot. And I heard from people that are New Mexico State and New Mexico grads who say it happens to them all the time.
Well, it happens, obviously, to ASU and Arizona constantly.
Yeah, here's one. New Mexico State. The Lobos lost their only game against top competition this year, squandering a second-half lead and falling by 3 to Kansas in Kansas City. No, that would be the Aggies.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. Did you see this?
Well, like I said earlier, maybe if college nicknames were a little more... lazy.
Sun Devils is unique.
It is. I agree.
There should be no... Mixing up the mascots is inexcusable. And even in New Mexico, who else is the Lobos? I can't think of anybody.
No.
Sheriff University.
Speaking of which, we never really got to this story, but ESPNU did this yesterday. They prematurely released the women's NCAA bracket.
Terrible.
Could you imagine if that happened to the men's tournament?
It did a few years ago.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Got leaked online.
Wow.
But, with the women's brackets coming out on Monday, several teams that made the field, or didn't make the field for that matter, had to cancel their viewing parties. Because it was already out.
Yeah, it was already out. Then they moved it up since it was already out. And then the viewing parties got canceled. And I told Vinny this. Jared, did you know that UConn's women's basketball team's a 2 seed?
That's so stupid. Because they lost a couple
times.
Yeah,
you know what? They haven't proven themselves.
I know.
They got to earn their spot as a number 1 seed.
I know. They haven't engendered much trust.
It reminds me of like when Serena Williams has a 10 seed
because
in Wimbledon.
Give birth 15 minutes right. before the tournament. Right. Like, she's not going to win it. Really? You're building intrigue? Nice try. Some quarterback news. ESPN, now that Jason Witten has gone back to be a player with the Dallas Cowboys, are looking for somebody to take over in the Monday night booth. They've reportedly met with Peyton Manning and offered him the job.
Wow.
Yes.
That was quick.
I didn't say he took it.
Oh, right. Okay.
No word on his level of interest at this point, according to the Hollywood Reporter.
And you said earlier that you'd be surprised if he did take it. What makes you think that? I'm curious.
I just think he's got too many irons in the fire, and there's a commitment there.
Yeah, and I don't know if Peyton Manning would be comfortable doing the, because Peyton likes to be a little dangerous, right?
I don't know. I've never heard him as an analyst. He's a very funny guy.
Right. When he can get a little blue, when he can roast somebody, when he can be real biting and sarcastic, he's hysterical.
And I would be okay with the Peyton Manning hire, but I do have to ask this question. What does Kurt Warner have to do to get a job offered to him? He's excelled in every broadcasting thing he's ever done. He does the Monday night games on radio.
Everybody
right now
loves him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really.
And he's a solid analyst.
He's more than a solid. He's excellent. Yeah, no, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
But I guess after the debacle that was Monday Night Football last year, ESPN is going after the biggest name possible. So I understand it from that standpoint. An update on the Ben Roethlisberger fumbling on purpose story.
Oh, yeah.
Talked about that running back Josh Harris that accused Big Ben of fumbling on purpose after he disagreed with a play call. Now, Bruce Gradkowski, who was the backup quarterback in 2014 with the Steelers, says the story is false. Gradkowski was Roethlisberger's backup at the time, and he says he remembers the play well and is certain Roethlisberger's fumble was an honest mistake, not a deliberate one. According to Michael David Smith on Pro Football Talk, Gradkowski said Roethlisberger fumbled because the play had the fullback in the I formation, when ordinarily the Steelers ran that type of play from an offset I formation. Roethlisberger didn't realize the fullback was right behind him when he turned around to hand the ball off. Gradkowski says the Steelers changed their offensive terminology after that fumble to give the quarterback a reminder that the fullback would be directly behind him. Who you believe in, Bick? Gradkowski or Harris?
I would say, whether or not that happened, I believe Ben Roethlisberger is capable of doing that. And people who know him and are friends with him have even said, yeah, whether that's true or not, he could be that petty. Believe what you want.
It still doesn't explain why, in a game that was a 10-point game late in the late stages, why you were calling a running play and not taking a knee.
Gambo just walked in to show me that 44 years ago today, Sister Golden Hair was released.
Oh, that should have been Song of the Day.
Oh, it will be, starting at 2 o'clock.
Just not on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear him sing in Africa? Made me want to move to Africa. Said,
oh, so did I. Yeah, made me want to jump off the top of Mount Kilimanjaro.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We've set the stage for you for the next 4 hours.
Walter Berry.
Marco Baldi. Thanks to Casey Jacobson for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. As always, we appreciate the support. We're back tomorrow. The aforementioned Burns and Gamble up next, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you.